Thank you very much. So I have, Bill, a question that probably some of you are thinking of if you're totally into that world, which I find to be very interesting. So supposing we hit the body with a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light, and I think you said that hasn't been checked, but you're going to test it. And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that too. Sounds interesting.
Get the right folks who could.
Right, and then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see it gets on the lungs and it does a tremendous number of lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me. So we'll see. But the whole concept of the light, the way it kills it in 1 minute, that's pretty powerful. Steve, please.
You say that the country will be in a better place by early summer. Does that mean you're going to need to extend the social distancing guidelines until then?
Well, we may go beyond that. We're going to have to see where it is. And we're going to know. You're going to know. I'm going to know. I think people are going to know just out of common sense. At some point, we won't have to do that.
4 years ago today, that's what that recording's from, friends. President Trump riffing on some new scientific theories he had heard about putting the UV light inside the body through various ways. He must have been talking about sticking a flashlight up his butthole. But, John, you really wanted us to open with this distressing bit of audio history. This is from 4 years ago. This was a press conference on April 23rd, 2020, attended by President Trump and Deborah Birx, that woman who ran the coronavirus task force and wore those scarves and would always look like she was on top of the world when Trump would turn to her and be like, isn't that right? Didn't you tell me that I can put a flashlight up my urethra and kill the
That's
COVID in 1 minute? Can really blast it. 1 minute.
He did not say up his urethra, did he?
No, but there's a moment in the recording where he's like, yeah, I think you could swallow
it. Put it inside the body?
Yeah.
Could we ask about that?
Right. You know what he's thinking about.
I didn't know. I never thought about that. But yeah,
course,
maybe you're right.
Of course.
Okay.
Because he says it in the same tone that he said about Megyn Kelly when he was like, maybe she was bleeding from her wherever.
Oh, my God.
You know, he kind of has this certain intonation when he thinks about orifices.
That guy was president.
Yeah, he was president. He might be president again.
Oh, that's right. He's running again.
Yeah, he's running for president again.
And leading in the polls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
People have fond memories of him. Now, at this distance, at this remove.
So can we talk about memories? Because, see, I think that people don't have memories. I, not having much of a life, remember all of these things. But when this video clip was forwarded to us by one of our friends, he said, I had forgotten this. Or he said something to that effect.
Let me read the text exchange.
Okay, all right.
Our friend texted us this video and said, man, I forgot how fucking absurd it was every day. John said, I didn't forget, but it gives me hope to hear people say that. Our friend says, you didn't forget? John wrote, no. I think about how crazy it was all the time. It was nonstop. So John was putting everyone on notice.
I wasn't.
Never
I wasn't.
Forget.
Oh, my God.
UV light bulbs straight up the butt to zap the COVID virus in 1 minute flat. John Look, never forgot.
How could you forget that?
You get busy. You have other things to do. You got to keep track of all your shows and stuff. And also, who wants to remember? People push away bad memories and hold on to the good memories, folks. And that's called the Hallmark strategy. And it works. Trust me.
So the reason why I'm hopeful is because if people have forgotten all this, if people hadn't forgotten all this and Donald Trump was ahead in the polls, that would be bad. But if people have forgotten it and Trump is ahead in the polls, then that means they can be reminded.
It's in your best interest for everyone to have forgotten everything about the Trump administration, because then you can have the comfort of saying, okay, now once we start remembering, he'll go down in the polls.
That's the only hope we have, yes.
All right. Well, we'll talk about the election in a little bit.
It was bad.
Wait, what was bad?
the what was happening during Trump's presidency. Every single day was like that.
Some of it was definitely bad. Then again, gas was cheaper and groceries were cheaper. And that is very important to many people because it affects their...
That's true. Did he do that?
Yes, the president is responsible for the prices of things. That's like their number one job is to establish what things will cost.
Okay.
That's why if I was ever president on the first day in office, I would say gas would be $1 a gallon and grocery stores would be all you could eat. They'd be like buffets. You would pay a flat rate and you would walk out with as many groceries as you wanted. And yes, that even means sugar cereals and candy bars for all you kids out there with the sweet tooth. So, John, you're ready to help everyone remember the bad things about the Trump administration. What's your strategy there?
Well, I think the Biden campaign has a very good strategy. And their strategy is that they have raised like $15 trillion compared to Trump, which their campaign has nothing.
Spending it all on his legal bills.
Right. So I think they're just going to run ads, although maybe people say you're not supposed to run ads, negative ads, and about how bad Trump was. You're supposed to run uplifting ads of Biden stumbling and bumbling over his own words. I don't know. I think you just need to put Trump out there talking about injecting things into his – I don't know.
Well, we have this trial going on in Manhattan right now. This is
have you been watching?
I can't watch it. It's not on TV.
Have you been listening? Have you been watching the people talking about it?
I would watch it all day if it was televised, but for some reason this one isn't televised. I think that's because they know it's going to get extremely pornographic very quickly, and they're going to be talking about his cock a lot. And
they have been talking about Pecker this week.
Well, that's David Pecker, John. Nice try. Oh, he was the head of the National Enquirer. The catch and kill strategy, folks. Everyone's learning about that. I bet that jury's getting an earful about catch and kill.
Explain what that is again.
Oh, my God. Who fucking cares?
Okay. All right. The catch and kill. Who cares?
What if the lawyer said that?
That would be just threw in
what
the
if
towel.
The prosecutors were like, oh, my God. Jury, I'm so sorry, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but like, I'm so tired of this guy. Will you please just vote for execution tomorrow? Can we just be done with this? Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, please return a verdict of mandatory execution tomorrow morning. I'm so tired of doing all this.
Anything is possible.
Speaking of Laura Trump. Boy, just when we were getting over her song, Anything is Possible, sounds like she has a new song called 4 Years of Scorched Earth, according to the audio of her speaking at some fucking convention or something, talking about how there's going to be 4 years of scorched earth if Trump returns to office. Let's give that a quick listen.
He showed us a whole lot that we didn't know was going on within the media, within Washington, D.C., he exposed a lot of people, so they have to do everything they can to keep him out of that White House because they know Donald Trump gets in for 4 more years. The jig is up for them. The gloves are off. There are no holds barred here. He is going full throttle. He's not worried about winning another election. It's 4 years of scorched earth when Donald Trump retakes the White House.
And we're back. Oh, a little heel turn from Laura Trump. Wasn't it just like a month ago she was like, talking to that little girl,
riding on the Pegasus.
Yeah, Pegasus, yeah. Now she's like 4 years of scorched earth. Speaking of people who suck up a lot of media attention and know how to hold on to a grudge and will never call for a ceasefire in Gaza... Taylor Swift has a new album out.
What?
The Tortured Poets Society.
Correction. It's Tortured Poets Department, not Tortured Poets Society.
Isn't there a lot of uncanny similarities between Donald Trump and Taylor Swift? Both of them are extremely popular and extremely savvy. And they both spend 90, it feels like they both spend 90% of their waking hours stewing about people who have wronged them. That's Trump's entire re-election campaign. Revenge, scorched earth,
Taylor Swift is always writing these songs about all these dipshits she's dating and how they let her. Why don't you? And you know what it's like? It's like Taylor Swift is just like Donald Trump. I mean, how about Donald Trump would hire all these people and say they're the biggest geniuses? And then they would turn on him and he'd be like, yeah, that guy was such a loser and an idiot. He was such a disappointment. Taylor Swift is the same way. She dates all these boys and then kills them in the songs after they break up. It's like, why don't both of you get some better judgment?
Right.
Sounds like you both are really poor judges of
people.
Yeah,
she doesn't blame herself at all.
Kind of like Trump in a way, right? It's very interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting.
Much to consider. The Tortured Poets Society.
Correction. It's Tortured Poets Department, not Tortured Poets Society.
Have you heard it?
I have to tell you, man, I think Taylor Swift has written some truly amazing pop songs, but everything I read about this album, it just sounded kind of lazy and just like not hitting. And I wonder, John, if we've reached Taylor Swift saturation and Donald Trump saturation, and that being in the spotlight so relentlessly in the end is going to wind up hurting them. People will just get tired of it. What do you think?
You need to, with Taylor specifically, she needs to just take a break. It's too much. It's too much content.
Too much content.
It's, according to Jennifer, she listened to it. She said the whole thing just needed to be edited.
Yeah, it's really long, right? Or it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
There's like a bonus record. It's like.
Right. She did it for herself. It was indulgent and, you know, this cathartic experience of being able to get all this stuff out and just say this stuff for her own. But it sort of reminded me of like how people leave the Washington Post or the New York Times and then they open up their own Substack.
And then they type very many words without an editor.
Because there's no editor anymore and there's no limit. But people are still eating it up and they get a lot of subscribers and everything, but it's become sort of indulgent at a time. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we're indulgent at times. I know I'm indulgent like on my Twitter feed and sometimes people get frustrated and like, why are you talking about like Colosseums built in the 1960s in the state of Virginia? What are you doing? This isn't about prediction markets or whatever. But I think the difference is I'm being indulgent and I think my Twitter account is just for me to have fun or whatever. No, and nobody's paying for it.
The paying part is another similarity that Trump and Taylor Swift have, which is this thing they do where they offer things for sale and kind of convince you that it's a gift they're giving you. Where Taylor Swift is like, hey guys, I love you all so much. I have a very special surprise gift for all of you. Tortured Poet Society is being released on 50 different limited edition colored vinyls, and you can buy them here at this link. I love you guys so much. Thank you for all your support. Trump is the same way. Hey, Patriots, I love you guys so much. Look at these gold shoes. I made these for you with my blood, sweat, and tears. I'm giving you the gift of letting you buy these shoes from me. I guess that's what all good salespeople do in a way, though, right? They kind of convince you that you buying their product is them doing you a favor. But I think Taylor Swift does it like to a crazy degree. I don't know.
Is she a bad person?
No, I don't think she's a bad person.
I don't think she's a bad person. It's just inertia right now. It's just too much. It's become its own thing, its own economy. She's got all these people around her. She's probably feeding like thousands of families of people that are working for her. I mean, not to say that she doesn't enjoy it, putting out all this stuff, but it seems like it's out of her control now.
She has a lot of responsibilities. She's a billionaire. I wonder who's richer at this point. I guess Trump is richer than Taylor Swift because of Truth Social is still, hasn't completely collapsed. I think he crossed over into the billionaire mark because of Truth Social's public offering, IPO.
Yeah. If I could buy stock in either one, I'd buy it in Taylor, obviously.
Oh my God. Obviously. Yeah. I think Taylor Swift is a much better option.
And she's not going anywhere ever.
Was that conversation interesting or not?
I don't know.
I can't tell.
I can't tell either.
Well, let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. Let's not look backwards, okay? Let's not look backwards.
All right.
John, looks like we have some corrections.
Oh,
looks like you made some mistakes in previous episodes.
I'm correcting myself. Nobody corrected me.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So I went and looked in, and I was talking about Nicole Kidman and some other movies that she had been in, and I said she'd been in this movie Dead Reckoning. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't Dead Reckoning. It was Dead Calm.
Oh, Okay.
That she was in. It was like in the late 80s or early 90s that she was in that.
Heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
And Dead Reckoning was, I guess, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning.
Oh, I think I saw that one.
I don't think I saw it.
I saw a really good one where he was on a cliff. Anyone know what I'm talking about? It was good.
The motorcycle?
No, it's not the one where he jumped off the motorcycle. He was hanging on the side of a cliff, and I really thought he was going to get hurt. And he didn't. He survived. Tom Cruise.
The other correction is I said that Sharon Harris was the last nuclear power plant. And there is one more power plant that came online after Sharon Harris.
So we will call Sharon Harris the penultimate power plant.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes. The Sharon Harris, they started building it in January of 1978. And the Three Mile Island accident was in March of 1979, which was actually 12 days before the China Syndrome was released.
Is the China Syndrome about nuclear power?
Yeah, the China Syndrome is about a nuclear power plant in the Northeast having a meltdown.
Oh.
It's pretty much Three Mile Island.
Hmm.
So.
A big, huge, energy-producing thing having a meltdown. Sounds like someone sitting in a certain lower Manhattan courtroom these days. Donald Trump is his name. You might know him as a president of the U.S., Well, it seems he's in hot water and needs a new cooling tower because he's been called to account for hush money payments that were made to one Stormy Daniels. Speaking of wind power, I'm sure there's a lot of wind blowing around in that courtroom from the president's anus because apparently he's passing gas and napping and dozing off. The human body responds to stress in many different ways, and it's fascinating to read these accounts of how the former president is responding to stress.
I just want to say for the record that the reports of him passing gas have not been confirmed by anybody.
Well, who started it then? Why do I know about
it? Midas Touch or something, like one of these left-wing
bullshit
Twitter
artists.
Accounts that's just, you know.
Where it's like, this is why I don't miss Twitter when it's like, hey, guys, the president is farting in the courtroom. This is embarrassing. Retweet if you agree.
Yeah.
When they're always trying to juice
true
engagement.
True fact stated.
We need to get this trending to bring down Trump. Trump farts in courtroom. Hashtag smelly Donnie. Can we get this trending? We're number three on trending. Sean King. Please signal boost this fart meme.
Sean King.
Yeah, I don't miss Twitter, I got to say. All right.
Yeah. So I don't know if that farting stuff is true, but the falling asleep is true. Yeah.
Everybody forget I said anything about the president releasing odors from his intestines, which went through his anus and rectum and out of his bottom.
I think you have some corrections as well.
I do have a correction to make. I miscounted the knobs and switches on one of my pedals, and I'm so torn up about it. And I feel like I gave you guys false information a couple weeks ago when I was compiling my spreadsheet of knobs and switches on all my different effects pedals.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the DOD rubberneck delay, I actually forgot about two little knobs on this pedal. The total amount of knobs and switches on this pedal is 13. I forgot about the two little illuminated knobs that let you adjust all the boingy boingy stuff on the pedal. So I apologize to everybody. Lest you think it only had 11 knobs and switches, the total is 13. And that was eating me up inside for the past week.
You made a counting error or an accounting error.
I made an accounting error.
Like the other DOD sometimes does.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they're like, how many sites does our building, the Pentagon, have? Four?
Right.
Come on, guys. Learn to count.
How much does this hammer cost? $300.
Oh, my God. There was
that stuff real?
There were so many books published about that in the 80s, about how expensive the Pentagon was charging. Like, the amazing $300 paperclip.
Yeah.
How the Pentagon screws the tax. I mean, I'm sure it does, but that was a real thing in the 80s, wasn't
it? Yeah, and it's stuck.
Did things travel around before the 80s? Ideas and stuff. I mean, before the internet. How did things travel around before the internet?
I think TV.
It was TV?
TV, late night host
radio.
Joking.
And the author would be interviewed on the radio.
Right.
And then everyone would hear about it.
Yeah.
Then Johnny Carson would come out and say.
But we all knew about that $300
hammer. Bad news, everybody.
Hammer.
We've had to go bankrupt. We tried to buy some of the Pentagon's paper clips, and we bought two paper clips. Karnak says, good job. Why you're bankrupt? And then he opens the envelope and it says, you bought two paper clips from the Pentagon. Then Ed McMahon goes crazy laughing. That was a whole mood back then, the 80s.
The envelope that he put up to his
forehead. Yeah, he put it on his head. He was like a psychic. There was a lot of normalization of witchcraft back in the 80s on TV.
Really?
Who was telling me about Sally Jesse Raphael's glasses the other day? Was that you?
No.
I was talking to someone about Sally Jesse Raphael's red glasses.
Oh, the myth of the $600 hammer. It was $600.
Oh, it wasn't a paperclip.
Oh, and here's one from 2011, the Washington Post. The Pentagon's $435 hammer.
Do you know what I used to think as a kid? I just remembered this. This is very telling.
U.S. Naval Institute, they say $436 hammer. A laughing matter?
I used to think when I was a kid, well, it probably costs $436 because it's the world's best hammer because it has to be up to like Department of Defense specs.
Right.
Like I thought the cost was legitimate because it had to be made to like military grade hammers and nails, you know?
Well, if it's a specific type of hammer, if it's like the type of hammer that can only be used on a, you know, F-22 or something.
Right. Then it makes sense.
It kind of makes sense.
I don't think that's what it was. I think it was just people price gouging, right?
Okay.
Hey, that's one thing Joe Biden should talk about more is being able for Medicare to negotiate drug prices.
No, his big thing that he's talking about is, the inflation. What is it that's happening? The miniaturization of food. You know, like when you buy a candy bar now, it's a little bit smaller.
Oh, shrinkflation?
Shrinkflation. Yeah.
That's what he's talking about?
Yes. He's like put out some TikTok videos about it and stuff. I don't know.
He's talking about candy bar sizes?
Yeah.
You love to see it. If he's like, I want America to be the home of the biggest fucking candy bars you've ever seen.
But they must have some sort of, they must have done some research. They must have some numbers that are saying that one resonates.
Imagine you work for Biden.
Okay.
And you're like, you know what? This guy, let's say you're 40 years old. You're working for Biden.
Okay.
This guy is the best president of my lifetime, and he's not getting any credit because groceries are still expensive. The one thing he can't do anything about is the one thing everyone blames him for. Well, that and Israel Hamas. So two things, and two legitimate things that both suck, but everything else, this dude has been killing it. Drug price negotiations, green technology, student debt cancellation, wiping out all these 420 convictions. Marijuana, that's code for marijuana. They're like, God damn. And people are mad because their candy bars are too small. Are you fucking kidding? Well, I guess we got to build a whole candy bar size policy. Maximize the candy bars. That would drive you crazy.
Maximize?
Yeah, maximize the candy bars. That's what I would write that on a huge sticky note and put it on the wall in my office for all my minions to look at. This is our one job. Maximize candy bars. It's the candy bars, stupid. That's what we would say during the campaign. Poor Joe Biden. This guy gets no fucking credit. Everyone's looking back on these Trump years with such nostalgia. I'm glad I don't work for Joe Biden. John, sounds like huge news in the world of trampolines. Let's get into it, buddy. What's the trampoline update?
Well, I have a trampoline now. Our trampolines are kind of trashy, right? You got a trampoline in your yard, you're kind of trashy, right?
You know, it's interesting because trampolines are expensive.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I think it depends on the condition of the trampoline and where it sits in the yard.
It sits in the backyard, which is better than the front yard, but the matting around it is fluorescent orange, like international orange. Which is quite disappointing because it just looks like hunter stand in the back. I don't know. It's like if I'm the neighbors, I'm not liking this giant orange.
Well, if you're the neighbors, you're not liking a trampoline no matter what the color is because it means you're going to have bouncing, screaming children 24
right,
hours
so
a day.
So the least you could do is make it blend in to the environment visually.
It's basically like, hey, we got a trampoline.
Right. So not only are you going to have the screaming kids, the noise, but also visually, you'll see it out your window.
Your neighbors are going to be hating life.
They already do, I'm sure. So, so I put together this trampoline. You got to pull the springs and everything. Mm. It's real dangerous. You feel like it one mistake and you could have a spring go flying in your eye and take your eye out.
Big springs are no joke. But you did it?
Yeah, yeah.
Jennifer, how long did it take?
7 hours.
Woo!
We made, at one point we realized we'd made a mistake and had something in backwards and then had to take all the springs off.
That's always a nice feeling.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
So a little sore today. Realized.
Have you bounced on it yet?
Yeah, yeah. I jumped on it a few times yesterday.
Did you go up high?
A couple feet.
Did you do a somersault?
No.
Oh.
No, it's just, I enjoyed jumping on trampoline as a kid, but when you're older, I think the juices in your back, the whatever's in between your spinal column, they must not be there because you really feel your back compressing.
Your juice leaks out.
I don't know if it leaks out or if it's just not there. So no. So I did that. I called Mike. Mike's got a trashy trampoline too.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him how long it would take to put it together. And he said he and his brother 4 hours. So when I heard that it took Mike 4 hours, I knew that I was in trouble.
Mike's a little handier than you are.
Yeah.
I have a friend whose brother has 3 trampolines in his yard. Now, is that trashy or is that a flex?
I don't know.
3 trampolines.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Do you jump from one to the other?
No, I don't think you can do that because they have net. They have netting on the sides for
safety. We didn't have that when we were kids. There was no netting.
No, that's true. We didn't.
We all jumped on it and you'd get bounced up and you'd just go flying 30 feet in the air and land on the ground.
Those were the good old days. We didn't have participation trophies. We had concussion trophies. Is that a funny thing I could say at a comedy club?
That's good.
What do you prefer, trampolines or zip lines?
Ooh, that's a good question. Probably a zip line, yeah.
God, there's nothing more exciting than a zip line. Oh, my God. What I wouldn't give to have access to a world-class zip line whenever I wanted.
Yeah.
Zip lines are number one.
You need a bigger yard for a zip line.
Yeah, you need a long, clear path for a zip line.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people have trampolines these days. When we were kids, it was a real special thing. But I feel like there's probably like 3 trampolines on this cul-de-sac.
You know what else people have more of these days? Like fancy coffee machines, like cappuccino makers, espresso machines. I think that's become a real middle class, upper middle class thing that would have been mind blowing when we were young. John, the world changes and it's up to us to keep up with it. You know what I mean? Think about that.
We're blessed in some ways.
Woo! Let's get into it. How are we blessed?
I mean, Americans, I'm telling you, I was looking at this thing on Reddit the other day. I'm trying to hang out on Reddit, and it was saying was given the average square footage of a house in every state in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's pretty much, I mean, with the exception of places like in the Northeast where, you know, New York State, the majority of the population is living in New York City. So you have a smaller footprint there. But in most states, it's like 2,200 square feet, the average house. And in Europe, it's like 800 square feet, 1,200 square feet.
We're blessed. Bigger is better.
I mean, I just think Americans sometimes don't realize how good they have it with their 2,200 square foot houses and trampolines. A trampoline.
Well, what good is a 2,200 square foot house if my fucking candy bar is like 2 inches long and I'm paying $100 for it, Joe Biden? Fix it. You ever think about that?
That's a good point.
What do you think is going to happen with all these kids protesting on these college campuses about Israel and Palestinians? The colleges are, it feels like they're kind of fucking up, if you ask me.
I'm starting to think that maybe the people on the right that are saying that everything's crazy on the campuses, are they right?
No, because it's not like the kids aren't burning down the buildings or anything. They're just sitting around in the quad, right? They're putting up tents on the lawn.
Oh, so nothing is going on. It's not a big deal?
No. Oh. They're not like rioting or anything. They're just like protesting. I don't get it. It must be because of the donors. It must be big, huge donors to these schools are like, I'm not going to give you money unless you get these hippies back in class. Don't you think that's got to be part of it?
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember if we protested when we were in college. I know we had some. We were in college during the first Iraq War, which was called
Operation Desert Shield.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And then did they flip a switch on us very hard one day? And they came out and they were like, Operation Desert Shield is now Operation Desert Storm. Were they storming very hard?
Storming Norman Schwarzkopf.
Yeah.
He was everybody's favorite guy.
The 100-hour war, I think it was. Like,
yeah. Anyway, we were protesting that on campus.
Yeah, we protested it.
But I don't think we did sit-ins or like took over anything. I don't remember. Anyway, I'm kind of excited. It kind of makes me excited that the kids aren't giving up. I'm kind of into it.
Huh.
I would not want to be planning this summer's Democratic National Convention, though.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's not.
You said
be
it was going to be like 68 all over again.
It's not going to be
that?
Because now we have like freedom of speech zones and stuff.
Cages.
Yeah, so they'll be like, yeah.
The yelling cages is what they
Yeah, they'll
be
say,
called.
You guys can demonstrate all you want out here on this tarmac.
Welcome to your yelling cage.
At O'Hare. Right. They'll put them at the end right. of a runway.
Put them in an airplane hangar.
Yeah, go crazy.
Oh my God.
That's not funny. That's not good. We shouldn't laugh about that.
John, we are a podcast about betting on electoral markets. The New York Times had a big piece about Biden and Trump's road to 270 electoral college votes. Biden's path is narrower. Trump, even though he's trailing in a bunch of polls, it'll be easier for him to get elected because once he has Georgia and North Carolina, which are two swing states, he has multiple paths to get to 270. It all comes down to seven states, John. Do you know those states?
Probably, yeah. Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
You got it.
All right.
In alphabetical order, the seven important states for the 2024 election are Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin.
I would say that you could throw Florida in there as well.
Oh,
I think it's extremely unlikely.
Fuck.
But obviously,
I like
Florida,
this.
It would be the next one in there.
I like this. Georgia and North Carolina both have 16 electoral college votes.
That's right.
If Trump wins both of those, and I'm not sure he's going to win North Carolina, John. I know we've had our disagreements, but that's within the margin of error in North Carolina. And remember, this trial has just started, and I do think this trial will hurt Trump. Trump will be at 251 electoral college votes. If he wins Georgia and North Carolina, all he needs is Pennsylvania. But you know what? I don't think he's going to win Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania's a pretty big ask, don't you
so,
think?
So let's pretend he doesn't win Pennsylvania. In that case, he needs Michigan and Nevada or Michigan and Arizona. Arizona is now in play because of their fucking crazy abortion ban, don't you think? If he can't win Michigan, he could win Arizona and Wisconsin. John, what does the future hold for the United States? What's going to happen in this election?
He's going to lose. I think he's probably going to win North Carolina, though.
You still think that?
Yes. It's been many years since 2008.
It's been 16 years
yes.
since 2008.
Yes, and Obama was a very special, transcendent campaigner, African-American. And
what if the candy bars get so fucking big between now and then that like we're choking on them?
I don't think it's going to excite the
North Carolina voters?
No. I'm worried about Michigan. Obviously, the polling there is not particularly great. Worried about Nevada. I'm not really worried about Arizona for some reason. It just feels like Arizona's not going to happen.
Kerry Lake's dreams are going to be dashed against the shores of Arizona.
And I'm not worried about Pennsylvania. We got Fetterman. Fetterman will get out there.
Oh, God. What happened to that guy? Do you think it's because of his hospitalization?
No.
Do you think it's just he's always been this way?
Yeah.
Then now he's like, I'm not woke. I love Israel. I hate all these hippies.
Yeah.
He's just doing a heel turn?
Yeah. And I think it's probably not a terrible, politically to do that because Pennsylvania isn't extremely blue, So it'd be a perfect place to do that.
I'm going to choose to believe that North Carolina is flippable.
I do think it's flippable, but I just think that if North Carolina is won, it's going to be...
It'll be part of just a massive Biden wave that's sweeping across
yeah,
the country.
Yeah, it's going to be a landslide. I was trying to explain the tipping point the other day and... I don't know. It's sort of hard to explain. It's just it's like if yeah, if North Carolina flips, it means everything else is flipped. That's why it's not important to focus
no,
on.
No, John.
Like, okay, to put it this way. So let's say the rebel Confederate army needs to take over to beat the North. They have to take over Washington, D.C., okay? They have to take the Capitol. All right, so cities that are important in order to take the Capitol are, you know, Richmond and Raleigh and Charlotte and Atlanta and all that. And let's say that
who's
Maryland
writing this
part...
analogy? Alex Garland, director of Civil War, the new movie that's got everyone talking.
So say they're coming from the South and say that Baltimore is part of the South.
And say Nick Offerman is president.
And people are saying, okay, so, I mean, if Baltimore has fallen in this scenario, it just means that D.C. has already fallen. It's not an important city to focus on.
You can't untangle these strands of hypotheticals, you're saying.
Yeah.
If North Carolina goes blue, it's because so many places went blue that North Carolina turning blue doesn't matter.
That's right. So you need to focus on Richmond. You need to focus on all these other cities in this battle simulation that I came up with, which is terrible, actually.
But, yeah, this is actually one of the most disappointing segments we have ever done. What in the world were you talking about?
I don't know.
You said you were trying to use this analogy to explain something to somebody the other day?
No, it didn't go well then.
I bet not. I bet that person will never speak to you again. Just kidding. Are you going to see that movie Civil War about the states fighting each other?
Yeah. I've been told that this movie by one of our listeners on Twitter, which I'm not supposed to be on, said, John, you got to see this Civil War. It's a Skyline movie.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, because it does have shots of skylines on fire and stuff?
I don't know. I said I was going to see it, and then I haven't seen it because I've been dealing with all these birthday parties and taxes and funerals.
Fucking trampolines coming out of your
trampolines
ass.
Trampolines, and yeah, been a lot. This April.
This is kind of like a Hollywood update. We're kind of just flowing from topic to topic. I don't know where I'm going to put in the little deet, 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 deet sound effects, but so this is the Hollywood update.
Yeah, I want to see this movie, Civil War.
All right, you see it and let me know how it is. I think I'm not going to see it. All right, let's talk about Kristi Noem.
No, wait.
You think she's going to be vice president,
yes,
but she has clarified that she wants to ban abortion even in cases of rape and incest. I think now Trump will be hard-pressed to pick her as his VP, even if she is the prettiest, as you said. Well, you said Eric Trump is the prettiest when it comes to lips.
I never
and supple lips. But Kristi Noem was the second prettiest, and that's why Trump would pick her as VP. But Republicans are really worried about this abortion stuff, John.
Yeah. The dog catching the car.
Oh, my God. This dog, when this dog caught this car, this dog didn't know what to do with this car.
No. That's Bodie's like that. He's a tire biter. Anytime cars go by, he wants to.
Jesus. Some dogs
doesn't understand physics. I'm like, bruh.
Yeah.
You don't want to touch that.
So when we look at predict it.
I want to go back to.
And we look at the VP market.
Wait, can we just go back for a second?
Why are you trying to change the. Why are you trying to change the channel on talking about Kristi Noem?
Because I have nothing to say about her. I don't know anything about her.
Oh, all right. Well, then we can.
I just know that she's pretty and she's from South Dakota. And
Scott is still leading the predicted market at 23 cents. Kristi Noem holding steady at 19 cents. These abortion comments don't seem to have affected her price on predicted. So I'm dead even because I bought in at 19 and she's still at 19. I wonder, actually, if I should sell. Actually, yeah, I don't know who he's going to pick. And I really do think, John, and I know I've said this before, I kind of think this Stormy Daniels trial is a big deal. I think it's just kind of embarrassing for him. And I know anyone that he picks will be happy to serve and will trip over themselves to debase themselves for Trump's benefit. But I kind of think, why are you shaking your head?
It reminds me of when they came out with... They actually had audio tape of Trump on the phone with someone from the New York Post pretending that he was someone else, pretending that he was this guy named Barron.
John Barron.
John Barron. Yeah, that was
it. Right. The spokesman.
But it was actually Donald Trump pretending to be somebody else.
He's doing a John Worster, doing a fake call.
And he's talking about Donald Trump and how awesome he is. And how he's dating all these hot women. It was incredible. The story of that was amazing. But then they had audio, and it was clearly Donald Trump pretending to be this guy, John Barron.
Correction. The fake name Trump used when talking to gossip reporters was John Miller. John Barron was the fake name he used when talking to business reporters.
And the reporter on the other end knows it's Donald Trump as well. And he's just like, yeah, you know, Donald Trump, he's quite the ladies' man.
He's somebody that has a lot of options. And frankly, you know, he gets called by everybody. He gets called by everybody in the book in terms of women.
Like who?
Well, he gets called by a lot of people.
Yeah.
He's one of a kind.
I thought that is so embarrassing that that is going to be what finally does him in.
This is different.
This is different because...
because of the sex stuff and because it's a criminal trial. I think it makes it... and because he's farting a lot.
I don't think... you know, remember remember John Edwards?
Of course.
John Edwards paid off his lover...
explain who John Edwards is for the youth.
John Edwards was the disgraced North Carolina senator who ran for vice president along with John Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had this affair, and he got caught in the affair. The National Enquirer caught him.
There was no catch and kill when it came to John Edwards.
No, no. But in the end, he paid her off using campaign funds.
Right.
Which was illegal.
It ended his career.
And it was the end of his career. But was it the end of his career because of the campaign funds or because he was cheating on his wife who had cancer at the time?
His wife also was like the most popular person in North Carolina.
Right, right. She was a lovely woman. And so I remember at the time when people were saying, oh, whether, you know, they're going to take him to – they're going to charge him. And I remember thinking it was ridiculous. Like, even though it was illegal, I was like, who cares? So to show that I'm not a hypocrite, I feel the same way with Trump in this case. I'm just like, is anybody going to care? The bad thing is not the illegal part. The bad thing is him cheating on his wife. And we already knew about that.
Yeah, I think having it on the record makes a difference for some reason. I don't think this is like the most grievous of all of his crimes, obviously. That's like the document stuff in January 6th. But I do think the embarrassing stuff just hits different when it comes out during a criminal trial. And rightly or wrongly, people are going to – it's going to make a difference. I don't know if it's going to make a big difference, but my prediction is it'll make a difference.
Okay, here's my question. How long is this trial going to go on? Because nobody's paying attention yet.
It just started yesterday.
Okay, so maybe if the trial goes on for 6 months.
No, I think the trial will go on for 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's not going to make a difference.
I think it'll be quick.
No one's
going to think?
No.
Because people will forget about it by the election anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to predict it's going to make a difference, but maybe I'm wrong. But you're probably right that it won't make a difference in terms of who accepts the offer of being his vice president. Maybe I was out over my skis a little bit.
No, anybody will accept it just because you want that power.
Well, hi, I'm Christine Noem. I'm the governor of South Dakota and had the opportunity to come to Smile, Texas to fix my teeth, which has been absolutely amazing.
John, you want to talk about some kind of sports update? What is this? What am I looking at in this outline? A tweet from the Carolina Hurricanes?
Yeah, the National Hockey League. They're are having their playoffs right now. Apparently the NBA is as well. But nothing hits quite like the National Hockey League when it comes to playoffs. It's just crazy chaos. And the Carolina Hurricanes are one of the best teams in the NHL. And they're in their first series with the New York Islanders. And the Hurricanes are now up 2-0. Last night, in the second game of that series, the Hurricanes were down 3-0 to the Islanders. And the Islanders, in their previous 81 playoff games, were 81-0 when leading 3-0. But that is no longer the case. They're now 81-1 because they gave up a three-goal lead. The Hurricanes scored three goals in 80 seconds and were able to come back and win 5-3. It was quite exciting.
Should I then, buy no?
And then as you can see here, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Carolina Hurricanes Twitter account tweeted cry in all capital letters.
To whom?
At the end of the game.
Why?
to Islanders fans.
I hate that.
That's my question. That's my question.
I hate that.
I have loved the Carolina Hurricanes Twitter account because it's been one of the funniest.
I fucking hate sassy Twitter accounts for organization.
It's been one of the funniest and edgiest, but this to me.
Oh, cool, man. It's like, I didn't realize it was like funny and edgy. Oh,
no,
fuck
but
yeah,
this,
man.
This, yeah. This, I don't know how I feel about Cry.
It's unsportsperson-like. It feels thirsty and it's like a hello fellow kids.
Yeah.
God, that's disgusting. I hate that. I'm going to root against the Hurricanes. Who are the bad guys? Who are they playing? I'll root for them instead.
The Islanders, but don't root for
them. I'll
root
for the Islanders.
They have no chance.
I'm sure they're lovely. I'm sure they're a lovely organization.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah.
Are they from Rhode Island? Is that why they're called the Islanders?
No, they're from Long Island.
Oh, my fucking God.
They think their island's so long, it's 120 miles. The Outer Banks is 175 miles. What are they talking about, Long Island?
Wow.
Get over yourself.
All right. Let's ease up on the gas a little, John. Let's ease up on the gas. There's already enough chaos.
So anyway, go Canes and cry. The Crylanders.
Mm.
How's that?
Cryogenics. No wonder all these billionaires want to be put into deep freeze and then resuscitated. Because they spend their whole lives crying. Is it any wonder they'd be interested in cryogenics? Do you think there's something there? Do you think there's a good joke there? I bet there is.
But I don't see the billionaires crying.
Yeah, because they're always complaining and they're so thin-skinned. You know, like Elon Musk, he runs that site Twitter that you like, the white supremacist site. And he's always crying about stuff like, So cryogenics, crying, crybabies, you know? Genics, maybe you could do something with genics. Gen X, cryogenics.
Oh,
John.
That's good.
John, cryogenics. Because these billionaires, a lot of them are Gen X and they're crybabies. Mm. Peter Thiel, Elon Musk.
Gen X, the worst generation, ours.
You could say, is it any wonder that when they die or before they die, they want to go into cryogenics?
I don't think that's a thing anymore, honestly. I think that was a thing, and then I don't think it is anymore.
My joke will bring it back, though. My joke will single-handedly revive the cryogenics industry.
Who is the last person that you can think of that the famous person that did cryogenics? Ted Williams?
Walt Disney did it, I think,
and
right?
Ted Williams. But I think they lost power and his head melted or something. I don't know why they have to.
His head melted.
Yeah, something happened. They had to. Why do they have to detach the head from the body?
They
for
don't
these
detach
things?
The head. They put
they
the
do.
Whole body in.
They
what
do.
The? No, they don't.
Yeah,
I think
they
put
do.
Put the whole body in.
They did with Ted Williams.
They took off his head.
He's dead. And if you're going to bring somebody back to life, you might sure take off their head.
No, you leave everything in just as it is. Do as little damage now as possible because you might need that arm later or something.
But
the body's all connected,
they already think
like
that they're
going
to be
ecosystem.
Doing miracles, so it doesn't matter. I think they do it to save space or they can't fit them in the thing with their head on.
Humanity is so lost on so many topics. We've just lost our way.
Maybe that's not true. Ted Williams
they cut
frozen
off Ted Williams
in two
head
pieces.
And then his head melted. So there's
Ted
nothing
Ted Williams
left.
Was decapitated by surgeons at the cryogenics company. First of all, I don't like that because it's not Ted Williams anymore. When you're dead, you're dead. It should say the body of Ted Williams was decapitated by surgeons at the cryogenics company where his body is suspended in liquid nitrogen. So,
but
yeah.
That's a sort of shorthand to refer to the former body of Ted Williams as Ted Williams. And his whole theory is that he's still alive in there somewhere, right? And he's going to come back. So you can call him Ted Williams.
Yeah, but when your lead is Ted Williams was decapitated, you're like, oh my God, Ted.
Oh, the living Ted Williams was having a nice day and then was decapitated. That's not
body.
What happened. I see.
Yeah. We're trying to communicate here.
Oh, fuck. Ooh, that should be the first rule of podcasting. Communicate clearly and with intention.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's what you want me to explain the tipping point again?
Malcolm Gladwell, the tipping point. That's when everything changes. It just takes one little tip.
No, but I was talking about the tipping point state.
Oh. Oh, right.
See,
yeah.
I was making a joke. And you.
Yeah, sorry. You're so serious that sometimes when you're joking, I don't even pick up on it because your delivery is so dry.
Okay. Well, his head was frozen.
And did you read the part where it melted, as you said?
No, because I think this is the original article. I think that came later.
Oh, the melting?
Yeah, but I don't really want to look for it.
All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Here we go. 2009, 7 years later. Ted Williams' head mistreated in lab.
Yeah.
I shouldn't read any further. We know.
He gained.
I don't, yeah.
God, that's a grim headline. Holy fuck.
It's.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Whew. I got to just take a minute there.
A new book by former employee of Alcor, the company that froze Ted Williams's remains, alleges the Baseball Hall of Famer's body was mistreated by the company. Larry Johnson says in the book Frozen, My Journey into the World of Cryogenics, Deception, and Death,
whoa,
that he watched an Alcor official swing a monkey wrench at Williams's frozen, severed head.
What?
To try to remove a tuna can stuck to it. The first swing accidentally struck the head, Johnson contends, and the second knocked the tuna can loose. All right.
That's quite enough of that.
Yep. Anything is possible.
Austin writes in, longtime listener. Austin says, I'm about to move to Chicago from the Dallas suburbs to start a job as an assistant professor after finishing my PhD this summer. Chicago is, of course, one of the world's premier skylines, and many of its towers are residential towers. The thought occurred to me that the residents of residential high-rises are themselves part of a skyline. For close viewers, those residents can subtly change the skyline through the use of colored lighting, distinctive furniture, etc. I think someone could even make a more profound impact by using things like strobe lights, mirrors, or lasers. My question is, as an individual, what do you think is the right approach to becoming a participant in a skyline? Using the aforementioned techniques could draw eyes to a skyline, but could also prove to be a major eyesore. On the other hand, one could try to blend in, which better preserves the uniformity and integrity of the architecture. I hope you find this to be a topic worth some consideration. John, what say you to Austin's query?
I like the idea of blending in to preserve the uniformity and integrity of the architecture, as he writes here. I don't know if there needs to be a skyline HOA, but the idea of everyone trying to do their own thing in a skyline, it can kind of create chaos. In a huge city, if you're doing that, maybe it's not going to make that much of a difference, but in a mid-sized or a smaller city and somebody's like running their own strobe light off this building, it's too much.
Reminds me of when Elon Musk put that big X on top of the Twitter headquarters with a big light or whatever.
Yeah, stuff like that. I'm not a fan. Or like I've talked about with the Charlotte skyline, Truist has this horrible lavender lighting scheme. It looks like a strip club for this one building. And it would be fine if there were hundreds of buildings, but there just aren't. And it's too much.
So Austin should keep his light under a bushel. Keep it conservative for the benefit of all.
Turn the lights on in your apartment if you think that adds to the skyline, but I wouldn't like change, the colors or have any strobe or like a sign hanging off.
Right.
That's just me. That's my opinion.
I think I agree with that. I think that's a good way to live in general.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not about you. Sometimes it's about just the skyline.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I agree with that. Now you put me in sort of a reflective mood.
Like, that's how I feel about the trampoline. Like, we shouldn't have a trampoline.
Wow.
We do, but I recognize that it's an eyesore.
Can you put a beautiful statue beside it that will draw the neighbor's eyes away from the trampoline into the statue?
I do think we should put some landscaping around it.
Why don't you put some shrubs around it? Or a statue of Hercules?
Okay.
Or St. George slaying the dragon. Isn't that what St. George did? Did he slay the dragon?
I don't know. I don't know my saints that well.
Of course, you'd probably like to put a big statue of Eric Trump by the trampoline so that you can bounce right into his arms.
Election Profit Makers is an independent production. We welcome your support on Patreon at patreon.com/electionprofitmakers. And if you sign up for Patreon, you'll receive some wonderful EPM stickers in the mail. You'll also get an invite code to our private Discord. Send your election prediction questions, skyline requests, bird recordings to contact@electionprofitmakers.com. And if you want to advertise with us, email contact@electionprofitmakers.com.
Fare thee well, listeners. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.